Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Kathy Kay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, October 30th, 2023. We are reading from the big book and we are studying on page 162, the first full paragraph. Today's readers are Letty G. on the 12 Steps, Alex K. reading the 12 Traditions. Reading our text are Cheryl S., Shelley E., and Bonnie B. Our newcomer greeter at the end of the meeting will be Lorraine N., and Lois P. will be giving our announcements. Let's see, the reference numbers for the last two meetings. Yesterday, October 29th, the special edition meeting, the number is 20,785 or 20785. And this morning, 7 a.m. East Coast meeting, the reference number is 20,786 or 20786. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can require, through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Letty G. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Letty.
Good morning, everybody, and I'm Letty G. I'm recovered for today only through God's grace and mercy, and I am a compulsive overeater. Here are the 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for his knowledge and his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much for allowing me to serve. And I pass.
Thank you, Letty G. And Alex K., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA? Good morning, Alex.
Thank you, Kathy. Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, gratefully living in recovery for today. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. Grateful to do service.
Thank you, Alex K. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. And share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we begin our study of the Big Book on page 162, the first paragraph, and I will ask Cheryl S. to get us started. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning. This is Cheryl S. in Nevada, gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. Every few days, this doctor suggests our approach to one of his patients. Understanding our work, he can do this with an eye to selecting those who are willing and able to recover on a spiritual basis. Many of us, former patients, go there to help. Then, in this eastern city, there are informal meetings, such as we have described to you, where you may now see scores of members. There are the same fast friendships there. There are the same fast friendships. There is the same helpfulness to one another as you find among our Western friends. There is a good bit of travel between East and West, and we foresee a great increase in this helpful interchange. So this paragraph, I think, kind of encapsulates step 12. But I was reading it, and I thought, you know, how am I going to share on this? And I think what comes to mind, what my higher power is telling me is, just kind of brought to mind a couple of examples in my life. So what was suggested to me that I go and see a nutritionist or a dietitian when I first got my sponsor. And so I did, and I went through my insurance to do that. And I tried to find one that was familiar with compulsive overeating, but I wasn't able to do that. But I did go in and see a dietitian, and I explained to her that I attend Overeaters Anonymous and that I'm a compulsive overeater. And although she was familiar with eating disorders, the eating disorders I think that were that are taught in school, this is just my assumption, would be like anorexia, the one where you vomit your food. So she wasn't really familiar with compulsive overeating, and I was, and kind of did the thing about, well, you just eat until you're full. But, you know, I explained the program the way I understand it, and we were able to kind of find middle ground, and she was able to help me, and still helps me. But more importantly, I'm hoping that I planted the seed, because that's what the 12th step means to me, is I plant the seed. And so if she has someone else that comes in that doesn't really fit into her clinical categories, maybe she'll say, oh, well, there's Overeaters Anonymous, and here's how I have helped Cheryl with that. And then the other thing was, this weekend I went to a horse show, and I was upstairs in the announcement booth, which is also the office. And the four people that were in the office were obese. And one of them had just recently lost some weight, and he wanted to show me some pictures, and he told me how he did it. And then I said, well, I'm a compulsive overeater, and I do 12 steps. I belong to 12-step programs, and that's how I deal with my weight. And at first, I felt kind of uncomfortable about that, because the other people in the room, I had that feeling like, well, I don't want them to think I'm, you know, I'm thinking about them as being really obese. And I feel that way a lot of times, I think. It gives me some hesitation. But then I just remembered, you know, this is my calling. This is what I promised to do. And this is what I need to do. And so I just left it there. And then I actually saw one of the women at a horse show the next day. And she made a point of pulling over and saying, hey, Cheryl, how you doing? And so that was interesting. And I did my part, the part that higher power has given to me. And that's just to tell my truth. And if it's a seed planted, then praise God. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Cheryl S., for getting us started today. And now I'm going to listen for names of people who would like to share on what we just read and Cheryl shared about.
My name is Barbara W.
Wait.
Barbara E. from New Jersey.
Please wait 1 minute. I just want to say, if you shared in the last 2 days, please allow others to jump in first. Okay, now I'm ready to take names. I missed the first name. I did hear Barbara E. from New Jersey. Who came before Barbara?
I'm Barbara W. from New Jersey.
Okay, Barbara W. And
from
did
New
I hear,
Jersey.
Right, did I hear Barbara E. as well?
Yes, you did. Barbara E. as an elephant.
Right, thank you, Barbara. And who else would like to share today?
Rob G. in California.
Okay, Robin G. And next?
That's Roz. Roz G.
Oh, Roz G. Sorry, Roz. Who
Thank
else?
You. Teresa C. New Jersey.
Teresa C. in New Jersey. Anyone else?
Nancy C. in Texas.
Nancy C. in Texas. Okay, we'll start with those and we'll catch up some more names later. Barbara W. from New Jersey, please share with us.
Good morning. I'm Barbara W. from New Jersey, and I'm a grateful, blessed, compulsive overeater. Now, in this paragraph here that we just read, all of it is great, about understanding and working with each other. And for one thing, the willing to be able to recover on a spiritually base. Now, that's the thing here with me. Now, I'll be in this program 1 year next month, November, and I had to struggle. It was not easy at the beginning, but I know I was in OA way back years ago, but now OA is better because we are in the vision group here, and we have people all over sharing, and it's more enhanced, and we're advanced more in OA, which have helped me at the age of 68 to be able to grab hold to know that this is a terrible disease of compulsive overeating. And God, the 12 steps of recovery, continually working it over and over, is what's helping us, all of us, to be able to eat healthy and to know my body. Now, with me, I've learned to listen to my body. I know that I'm at an age now where I have some chronic illnesses, that I have to eat certain foods, which is a blessing, because if I hadn't had this, how would I know? So now that I know, there's certain things that I have to eat on my program and I can't eat. So this is better for me at this age. Way back when I was going 5 or 6 years ago, I thought it was a toy. You know, you can just go out and eat what you want to eat and you don't have to have a program of recovery. But no, I had to learn. It was a learning experience for me to continue to come to the groups and hear people, hear how they share that I would be able to masterize this disease of compulsive overeating, because it's terrible. It can get so terrible. I remember I was just, this would had all this stuff to eat. I don't want to call it, name it, because it's all garbage. And I just had to learn from God and have a spiritually awakened is what does it. When you really get that spiritually, get what I call God, it will help you to break it and know that I can't continue to eat that way. And that's what really, and then I can help other people. They say, oh, you lost this weight. How did you lose weight? I just tell them, OA. And some want to come, some don't want to come. But those people who I can help and tell them, I will do that. And they can tell by your clothes, by how you losing the weight, how you're eating. So it's really a good program, and I really love it. And I really go to a lot of meetings, face-to-face meetings and on the phone, because it's helping me at my age. I'm not young anymore. I'm 68 now. I'm getting there. But I'm so grateful that I'm able to continue to work the program and live it and be a light. Thanks for letting me share. And God bless everybody. We're in October. We're going to November now. We're looking to have a blessed year.
Thank you very much, Barbara W., for your share. And Barbara E., please share with us.
Okay. Thank you, moderator. You've got a lineup of Barbaras. I just wanted to say, this is Barbara E. from New Jersey. I am a volume compulsive overeater. I've had a long, difficult relationship with food. I really thought I was too smart for this program. All I needed to do was lose the weight. But I had to become stupid and therefore teachable to learn that this is a three-pronged solution. It's not just about the weight for me, because I am and was a yo-yo dieter. I would lose the weight at a pay-and-weight meeting, and people would clap and say, oh, wonderful. But you know what? I always gained it back. So I feel that you and I, who understand these weight issues, are uniquely qualified to help other people to listen, and if they want to hear what our recovery is like, then to share a bit about it. But for me, it's not just the physical, it's the mental and spiritual part. I had to know this program. I had to do it. And then I had to live it. And I don't want to shame myself. If I slip, I'm not a failure. If I've learned something, it's a life lesson. It's not a dead end. It's a detour. So yes, it's physical, but for me, it's mental and spiritual. And I've gone to doctors, but my cardiologist doesn't understand about my issues with food. My orthopedist doesn't understand about my issues with food. My internist does, because he's seen me obese and he's seen me underweight. And the last time I went, he said the words I didn't want to hear, and yet I needed to hear them. Barbara, you look a little bit better. You gained a little weight. You were looking rather thin. Well, of course, I kind of wanted to hear that was good, and I didn't, because I'm a compulsive overeater. And that's the how and why of it. And yes, life throws lemons my way, but I don't have to go to the food. I make a phone call. I do a 10-step with another member. I don't mention names because this is an anonymous program, and I believe in it. And then I call another person, and without complaining and without talking about my resentments, my fears, my angers, I ask them how they're doing. And I listen, because that's what I've had to learn the hard way, because sometimes I like to talk right over someone. So I have learned to become a good listener. And also, I like to think I have enough. I do enough, I am enough. I'm imperfect, but I'm growing. And if I fall on my face, at least I'm moving forward. So I understand today won't pay tomorrow's rent. Thank you. So I've got to do it every day. And with you, I can. Thank you, everyone. Have a blessed day. I pass.
Thank you very much, Barbara E. And Roz G. from California, please share with us, Roz.
Thank you for your service. This is Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California, which is in Los Angeles County. And I'd like to talk about the spiritual fellowship on the East and West Coast. Last night I was in a 12-step meeting. It was not Overeaters Anonymous, but it was a meeting where we met on a spiritual basis. And I was, and if you hear squeaking, that's my dog in the background. But you know, just getting together with people that have, you know, this common ailment, and meeting and knowing that human remedies didn't help, and you know, calling on a higher power with a group of people that I would normally not mix with is a complete wonderful part of my life. And so I want to say that, you know, in my past life, I always wanted to be an actress, or, you know, I wanted to be on Broadway and be a star. And, you know, I was just starved for attention. And, you know, my being in an alcoholic marriage and being overweight and having issues with overeating took all of those dreams. They stole them from me. And so when I, you know, started going to Overeaters Anonymous, and over the years, the weight came off, and I made friends, and I started coming to Vision for You meetings, and they had their conference in New Jersey, and so I flew to New Jersey 2 times, and I got to be in a skit. So although I didn't get on Broadway, I was off Broadway in New Jersey doing an OA skit. So OA made my dream come true, and I made friendships there. And then, of course, I live on the West Coast, so I go to the birthday party every year. So I have West Coast friends and East Coast friends. My dreams have come true. We're all on, you know, we're living here on a spiritual basis. In the morning, asking God, you know, what do you want me to do? I'm your woman. I'm here for you, God. There's no better way to live. I still have emotional issues. I seek support for it in within the rooms and without the rooms. And I'm just very, very grateful that I have these programs and that I have East and West Coast friends. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Raj G. Okay. And now let's hear from Teresa C. in New Jersey. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning. I'm so grateful for this program, so grateful that for the service that you folks give, so that this meeting is here for me every day. I wanted to, what spoke to me in the reading was really just about the fellowship and the camaraderie. That's very important to me. I've been just kind of trying to find an easier, softer way lately, and it's not working. So I'm grateful to be back. I wanted to share at the meeting because I realized that the only way to come back is to have action. And luckily I still have some OA contacts, and we're still reading the big book. And so that's what's been coming to me, is that if you want to make a change, you need to take some action here. And I think that's all I have to say today. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Teresa C. And Nancy C. from Texas, please share with us. Please unmute, Nancy C. Star one.
Good morning, everyone. This is Nancy C., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater from Texas. In the big book, we hear that Dr. Silkworth was probably the first doctor to actually select particular patients who were ready and willing to make changes in their life by using the big book to manage their alcoholic disease. Once he believed, he became an ambassador to alcoholics in his practice. I know that I can do this too with my friends and my acquaintances, only if they are ready to listen. Someone who is just contemplating doing something about their eating problem can be encouraged to move in the right direction and take the 12 steps after hearing and seeing someone like me in the program or someone like you in the program. No lectures, no pushing, just living our lives in a 12-step way may help another person on their path to their recovery. By seeing and talking to us, he can become the trigger that sets them free to a sane and healthy way of life. And I think that's why most of us, when we look down deep, figured out that's really why we came to the program, for that sane life, not just for the body that we might get. As these people who follow us move forward, they become even more likely to come to our fellowship and tell their friends about the place and their purpose. They become geared towards success. I know that the more I share what I'm doing and learning, the more likely others are to find people around them that are recovering. If we don't talk about what's happened to us, nobody else will know it, and they won't see this program can work for them. Our experience, strength, and hope becomes the basis of a life change for someone else. And very importantly, it's also at the same time reinforcing my own commitment to my program and my own recovery journey. I know that I've gone a long way from 5 years ago scoffing that phone meetings were in any way possible going to help me with my problem. I thought they were ridiculous. Now, I don't even want to miss one morning of my program. Almost every day for the last 5 years, I have made a meeting every day. I don't miss many at all. And this can help a struggling compulsive overeater to read the big book and know that even though he comes to scoff, like it says in the doctor's opinion, he may remain to stay. Pass.
Thank you very much, Nancy C. from Texas. Okay, it's now time to take some more names. And if you just joined us recently, we are sharing on the first full paragraph on page 164 in the Big Book. Who would like to share?
Debbie B.
Debbie B.
Deborah G.
Jan L.
Deborah G. Jan L.
Cindy N.
Cindy N. I can take a couple more names.
Melinda H.
Lorinda H. Anyone else?
Janice K.
Janice K. Thank you. Okay, let's begin with Debbie B. Please share with us, Debbie.
Good morning. This is Debbie B., compulsive overeater living just outside of Salt Lake City, Utah. And so grateful to be here this morning. I love how it's talking about in the beginning of this paragraph, the doctors, and it's not talking about my doctor or your doctor, but just doctors in general, suggesting this approach to patients. And I wish that one of my doctors had ever said anything about OA all the years that I was in this disease. And my doctor, who I've gone to for 20 or more years, our family doctor, is a really good man. He's sarcastic, though, and funny. But whenever I would bring up, you know, what do I do about the fact that I cannot stop eating sugar? I can't even go through a night of sleep without getting up and eating sugar. And he would just look at me like I was crazy. And so I would take that and go home and think, I must be crazy. He's looking at me like I'm crazy. He can't help me. And I remember at one point many years ago deciding that the answer was to go to a therapist who specialized in eating disorders. And I thought, she'll know. She's had all this training. This is her specialty. Nobody else knows, but she will know. And I went to see her, and I spent a lot of money and went to a lot of visits. And at one point, they had us, all of her patients, her clients, whatever you call it, she had a group. She would once in a while have a group where we all met together as a group. And I remember sitting there as an adult woman, and she handed each of us an old Barbie, and she had us do paper mache and take strips of newspaper and dip it in glue and make that doll so it was not so skinny, but add paper mache so it looked more like a regular body. And I remember doing that and thinking, I just felt so foolish doing it. And as I'm adding strips of paper mache to this Barbie, I was like, I don't want to add these strips. I want to look like this Barbie looks. And we all know over the years that the Barbie's body is not a representation of a woman's body in the least. But I didn't make that connection. Anyway, I remember finally after seeing her for many visits, and I said, I've seen you for all this time, and I still cannot stop. Nothing has changed. And she just looked at me, and she said, I don't know how to help you. And I thought, well, if she doesn't know how to help me, then nobody does. And it was so defeating and so discouraging. And now, after being in program for 6 years and knowing that it was not a therapist, it was not a doctor, but it was God. It was God that could help me. And I had been praying to God and saying, please remove this. And he didn't yet, because he needed me to be in a 12-step program that would change other aspects of my life, every aspect of my life, the way I thought, the way I interacted with others, the beliefs I had about the things people were doing, that if they would just change, I would be fixed and I could stop compulsively eating. And none of those things could be changed on my own. They had to be changed by my God. And thank heavens. And when the time was right, then he appeared in my life. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Debbie B. Deborah G. from Arizona, please share with us.
Oh, good morning, everyone. Thank you, Kathy, so much for your service this morning and everyone that's made this meeting possible. All your 12-step being me this morning with your shares. And Welcome, welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad that you're here. Wow, so glad you're here. I remember being a newcomer and how that felt. And I was thinking that for so many years, years and years, I kept relapsing and relapsing. And, you know, and I have to be honest, I really wasn't willing. I mean, I knew that certain things weren't working, but I wasn't willing. And I remember going to a workshop. Well, first before going, well, I think I was in the middle of the workshop also. I was doing the workshop, going to the steps, and then one of the fellows in Visions, I was in Visions also doing the meetings, did an assessment. I didn't talk to a nutritionist, but I talked with a fellow who I trusted, and she did a little assessment evaluation with certain foods, and this one substance was high, and I didn't want to look at it. I didn't want to look at reality of the truth with it. And if it was high, I kept playing around with it, different types and all this. And it wasn't until I was in this workshop that I got awakened, that I had a fork in one hand or a spoon, whatever it was. And this substance I was putting on every single bite. I wasn't even tasting my food. I was tasting the substance. It was so powerful. And so I saw that, finally saw that. And I went to a Vision sponsor, got one, to help me. Told her what happened. And all I did was lay it in her lap, what was going on, and to help me. And she took me to those beautiful 12 steps quickly while I was in the midst of that workshop. And I believe that's what really brought that spiritual awakening. Well, it was all spiritual, you know, the process of me being in those situations and then awakening the spiritual. So, oh, the beautiful hand of that divine loving presence guiding me. And I had had that experience in other programs, and that divine loving presence wanted me to have that here so I could be of service to him. And I'm so grateful, grateful. Thank you all. Have a beautiful, blessed day.
Thank you very much, Deborah G. And let's see, Jan L., please share with us. Whoops.
Good morning. My name's Jan L. from Florida. Are we on the first paragraph of 164, starting with still, you may say?
No, we're on page 162, the first paragraph. Every few days, this starts.
Okay. Okay. No wonder I couldn't figure out where to start. All right. So my name is Jan L. I'm in Florida, and I have tried to do OA and had some success, but never been recovered for 35 years. I'm 65 years old. And as far as doctors and professionals, I don't think I ever had anybody understand or explain it the way it's in this big book, including what I call regular OA. Yes, we read the big book some, but because relapse and was part of recovery for many there, or many people stayed in relapse, and you know, I just was confused. That's all I can say. So here I am today, my third time starting over. I've got a new sponsor. I started over a week ago on the steps, and I was close to surrendering, that active surrender where I gave everything up, all of the foods. Only problem was not the amounts. I could eat. I made it where, I knew better. I made it where I could eat as much of the non-allergic food as I wanted. The other thing I wasn't doing is calling, reaching out, and literally asking for help. I was studying, I was reading, I was doing but I was kind of going on what I learned from the literature and not being dependent on, or not being vulnerable with others. So that's still a work in progress. But as far as doctors, I have training in mental health, and I actually worked, did an internship at a treatment center, a nationally recognized one. And they did drug and alcohol first, but they also had an eating disorder program for the women. Well, in that program, they ate all the food groups, and they warned me of that when I was wanting to work with that group. So I didn't go to it because I knew I couldn't eat desserts and stuff, even though I was still in regular OA. So I just think there's very little knowledge of those of us that require entire abstinence to get clear. Anyhow, I'm so grateful today. I'm hopeful to develop those fast friendships with Vision OA recovering people because I am willing to reach out. And I do feel different when I make those calls. And I'm going to continue to do that because that's something I'm not comfortable with that I don't want to do. And I did call a dietitian. I do weigh and measure. I don't like it. But doing the stuff I don't like is part of my active surrender. It's the last part I believe that I need to really become recovered as people are in Vision. And, you know, after 35 years, my gosh, I know that I'll always be an addict and I only have one day of reprieve from this based on the things I do every single day. So I'm so grateful for my sponsor who God led me to, and I'm so grateful for this AA-based Vision program. It's the only thing that will work for me, and I will tell my doctors about it. I still don't think they'll understand, but maybe it'll help somebody else. Thank you for letting me share, and thank you all for Vision program and your shares. That's it.
Thank you, Jan L. Cindy N., please share with us.
Hi, this is Cindy N. from Pennsylvania. What spoke to me was the phrase about being willing and able to recover on a spiritual basis. I just today finished with my sponsor to go quickly through the book, through the steps, and I know that I'm not really recovered yet because it's a personal thing, but the thing that I've noticed is that as soon as my higher power knew I was ready, he started putting things in my life, things, you know, relationships, problems, you know, what have you, just day-to-day living problems, and to kind of see what I would do with them. I mean, it's just incredible because I can see this, and I know I'm very close to recovering. Especially today, I put my name out as a sponsor, and so, you know, this is just so quick, and I was willing and able. I had to reach a really, really low point. I'm in my age too. I hear a lot of people talking about that age. They, you know, it took so long for them to get to this point. And me too, you know, I had to hit a really low bottom, but that is what made it work for me. And especially after diving right into the book and doing this really fast, it just is what worked for me finally this time. And I look forward to recovering. I feel totally different today. Like, I'm not interested in food at all. I'm interested in, you know, keeping going. I like that phrase, many of us former patients go there to help. And even though they're talking about a doctor's office, I believe, I'm kind of looking at it as this Vision meeting. I come here so I can help because I'm at the point where I've been through all the steps now, and now it's time to give what I've been so freely given. So thank you. That's all I have. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Cindy. And Lorinda H., please share with us.
Thank you. Melinda H. in Virginia. And I just wanted to share that I have not been completely honest with my sponsor. Really, I have been doing half measures, and the big book says half measures avail us nothing. But in terms of professionals, I have wasted a lot of breath trying to explain this disease to people who either are in denial or who just don't, you know, they just don't get it. They don't have it, so they don't get it. I have, you know, something like 20 years in this program, and I have another, I don't know, 10 or 15 in another 12-step, my first 12-step program. And none of my recovery information or intellect or anything, working the steps, nothing in that other program has really helped me in, has helped me with the food, with my spiritual disease, which leads me to say that I don't know that I ever did had a deep understanding and commitment to, you know, God. And so it really is about the layers of the onion coming off. And as the further I go, the more narrow the path gets. And a good example is that I got COVID recently, and my throat was bothering me despite blah, blah, blah. And so I've been having these cough drops at night. And although they are sugar-free, they are not sweetener-free. And that cannot have been helping me. I didn't want to discuss it with anybody because I wasn't willing to give them up. And so now I'm willing to discuss it and get rid of them because it's, I don't think that they're helpful. So thanks for letting me share. Melinda H. as in horse in Virginia. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Melinda H. Janice K., I only have 1 minute left. Would you like to share?
I'll try. Okay. What struck me was the phrase, willing and able to recover on a spiritual basis. I think the point I wanted to make is that willing and able happens before we even hit step one. Willing and able is a spiritual gift, in my opinion. And willing and able, if you don't have it, pray for it, because it's essential. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you very much, Janice Kay. And thank you to everyone who has shared and listened today. It's now time to close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, and we'll follow this with the Serenity Prayer. Would Shelley E. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
You bet. Thank you, Kathy. I'm Shelley E., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. The Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.